Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, the Lakers finally got the blowout we've been begging for.
It actually happened. I did not get the side of THT that I was hoping for, but that's okay. I ended up confusing Jared Dudley for THT. I was very excited as he was checking into the game, only to be disappointed that it was Dudley. No offense to Dudley. I just want to see the young fella. They are both they're both cuddly.
Block
Dudley
boys.
Is cuddly.
Block yes. boy bodies.
Yes. That's right.
I really wish that THT, like Talen Horton Tucker's last name was like Christensen or something like that, so you could have said
THC.
I was really hoping for my side of THC.
Yeah,
and we could have got that audio on there. We're also joined by my wife. Dr. Jen is in the building. I think this is the first time you guys have ever recorded together.
Yeah, it is
first time.
Exciting. Not exciting because of the reason that she's on here. Unfortunately, like when Jen hops on the show, it's because something bad just happened.
It's never a good reason why I'm on your show.
obviously, so the way today's show is going to work, we are going to start with the physiological breakdown of Anthony Davis's injury. They actually kind of lucked out, as Jen and I were talking about during the game. So we have some, you know, good news there. And it's all, look, we don't have the specific information. So that is the caveat to everything that we're talking about there. And then in the second and third segments, we'll talk about the game and then how the Lakers will handle Davis's absence moving forward, if there is indeed an absence. Let's start here with Dr. Jennifer Irwin. I one day I'll remember all the letters after your name.
Yeah, there's only a couple letters.
What are they?
PT, DPT.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start here. Why is it that the Lakers lucked out? From a physiological standpoint, this the fall itself could have been worse.
Well, he could have broke his tailbone. Yeah. He could have fractured it.
Mm-hmm.
The actual tailbone is actually a pretty small bone.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the coccyx.
Have you ever hurt your tailbone, Pete?
I have, but not in a fall like that. My dad broke his tailbone once, but I've been okay.
It's one of the most painful injuries out there. There's no position that is comfortable for somebody who fractures their tailbone. But he ended up bruising a bone on his sacrum, from what you were telling me.
Yeah, that's what they announced.
So, I mean, it just depends on how severe the bruise is.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know that yet.
But with it, so the lucking out part of it, mm-hmm. is that it wasn't that, because I feel like, you know, you and I were talking about the blood flow that goes to that specific bone in that area.
Right.
And then with it being a bigger bone, I feel like it'd be easier to kind of rehab and manipulate and target whatever's going on there.
Right. It's a denser bone.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's probably a little bit easier for it to recover.
And better equipped for such a blow.
Yeah.
Too.
Absolutely.
So what kind of recovery is Davis getting ready for now?
Well, again, we don't know how badly he bruised his sacrum.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to a bone bruise, it's really hard to tell how long somebody will be out for because, we don't know the severity of it. The way that he was walking wasn't, you know, that didn't give me good feelings watching him walk. So,
me neither.
Yeah.
I felt that in my soul.
Well, they brought out, they even brought out the gurney.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's really hard to tell right now. We'll know more probably within the next couple of days once the inflammation slows down.
What's the recovery time on the average contusion of the sacrum? Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, it's the sacrum. I mean, again, it's hard to tell.
Four to six weeks
probably.
Mm-hmm.
For the average person. Not for Anthony Davis.
Yeah, or Irwin.
Then
it's double that.
Right. Yeah.
Pete, like, where was your head at when you saw that go down?
Oh, man, that's my worst fear about this season. I'm pretty encouraged about where they're at. I really like kind of their mentality of playing through nagging injuries, not injuries, but, you know, bumps and bruises. And
yeah.
LeBron was sick tonight. And I kind of like their fight and what they're made of. But an actual injury, especially with one of those two dudes, is really the one thing that takes what's been a very cool year that's building in a positive direction and completely, you know, derails it. Yeah. So, good news that the x-rays came back negative, and Dr. Brar on Twitter was saying that in his experience those are like 2 week injuries. Mm-hmm. to the sacral bone. So but it's also a matter of pain management. So I would exercise caution for sure with AD whenever they can, I feel a lot better now than I did 45 minutes ago, that's for sure.
The words that came out of my mouth when that happened are not the kind of thing that Avery should be repeating anytime.
Sure.
Now, to kind of echo and further Pete's sentiment about the caution that they should have, one of the things that you mentioned was a further injury or a kind of a ripple effect of the type of fall that he had, falling on one half of his body,
right,
that it might not. Like, there's an additional injury that they might have to keep an eye on?
So a lot of times what we see in patients when they land like that, you start to notice asymmetries in the pelvis. So what happens is you land on one side of the pelvis, and it causes that side to do what's called an upslip, where mm-hmm. it actually will slip up. Mm-hmm. And you'll see asymmetries in the alignment of the pelvis. You'll see curvature in the spine. And then from that, you'll start to develop tendonitis issues. You'll start to develop possible nerve impingements. You'll start to develop muscle straining. And then, of course, this is
sciatica.
You could have sciatica. Yes, that mm-hmm. is also possible. That's the nerve impingement that can cause sciatica.
Yeah.
So they're going to be hopefully looking at the symmetry of his pelvis and making sure that everything is aligned and that he didn't suffer an upslip from this fall.
Is this the kind of injury that can continue to nag moving forward, or is this like once he recovers from it, he's recovered?
As long as they address the symmetry in the pelvis, they make sure that everything is aligned properly, they deal with the inflammation properly, and then don't rush him back too soon, it shouldn't come back to haunt him.
Okay.
Yeah,
if I can interrupt, David McMenamin just tweeted that AD was able to walk back in the player tunnel at Staples Center as the initial shock of the fall wore off, a source told ESPN. The plan is for Davis to undergo an MRI on Wednesday. He's expected to miss the upcoming road trip in Dallas and OKC to stay back in rehab.
That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my question now, Pete, do you think the Lakers consider him day-to-day?
No, I think we're looking at least a week. I think they're already going to announce that he's, going to miss a few games.
Yeah, I think it's smart. And this is the nice thing about the gap that they have kind of built for themselves. As much as people have kind of mocked them for their lack of load management, that has allowed them 4 games now of a gap between them and their next closest team in the Western Conference standings. They can be smart and be slow about bringing AD back here.
Yeah. No, that's part of the benefit of playing through those bumps and bruises, right? Yeah. Is that you build yourself a little bit of a cushion, and hopefully we can have another one of these at the end of the year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So fingers crossed that it could have been a lot worse than it was.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's take a quick second here. Thank you very much, Jen, for hopping on.
Of course.
On short notice and stuff like that. This is always fun. Let's take a quick second here, pay a couple bills. When we come back, we're going to talk about the game itself and then how the Lakers are going to handle a potential Davis absence here over the next, we'll say, couple weeks. Arizona Office of Tourism. This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventures, incredible food. Arizona is a perfect home base for baseball fans and just families in general. It's a really cool place to visit. I personally, when I was covering the Dodgers for Dodgers Nation, I went out to Arizona for spring training and had an absolute blast. It's really cool. If you're a baseball fan, and even like they have stuff for non-baseball fans, but if you're a baseball fan, you can go there and they have all kinds of fields that have you covered for whatever team you happen to be there for. I remember specifically when I was covering the Dodgers, it was Cody Bellinger's, first spring training up with the Major League team. and he jumped off the field to me. And I'll always remember it as like me feeling, all right, that guy is going to be really, really good in some way, shape, or form. Now, did I think he was going to be an MVP? No, but I'll always remember that. And those are memories that I've made because I was in Arizona to be able to watch him jump off the field there. And if you're a fan of, say, Las Vegas Summer League for basketball, Arizona's Spring League is much of the same kind of vibe. So go out and check it out. They have a great food scene, great bar scene. If you're a family, they have things to keep your kids excited and thrilled. Spring League baseball is really fast moving. It moves pretty quickly sometimes, so kids seem to enjoy that. Also, you get great access to the athletes that are playing out there as well. It's just, in general, it's a really fun trip. So if you're looking for something to do this spring, head on out to Arizona for any of the Spring League baseball going on. And if that is something you're going to do, plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. Again, that's visitarizona.com/springtraining. All right. Once again, thanks to Dr. Jen for hopping on here. She's the smarter half of everything. And frankly, I can't believe that somehow that actually worked out in my life. But I want to start here with the game itself. Okay. The Knicks are terrible.
Yes.
Just an awful, awful basketball team. One of the sadder basketball teams, I think, that have existed in quite some time.
I mean, they just dropped 132 on the Clippers in a 3-point game the other day. So, you are not wrong. I'm just pointing that out, mm-hmm. that it is not always easy to be 21-0 and the only undefeated team against sub 500 teams in the league. But yes, they are pretty much a disaster.
I mean, you never know how things are going to go between two sad teams, but you know, who am I to say? I want to start with LeBron though. The thing that stuck out to me the most, and I think this was a matter of the success that he was having from deep anyway, but the Knicks' approach to guarding his pick and roll sets really stuck out, right? They were going under screens to a hilarious extent, and he was taking what the defense gave him and winds up going 6 of 12 from 3-point range. I really liked his approach to the game tonight.
Yeah, I mean, those are the shots we need him to hit against the Clippers in those games. Yeah. Like, it's a little different. They obviously defended him a little more on the perimeter, but not by much.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the stakes and the intensity level of the games are totally different, and I get that, but really, I was watching that and be like, just do that against the Clippers.
Yeah.
Even if you're not, go 4 of 12 instead of 6 of 12. That's fine. That's just hit those shots and we'll be good.
And willingly take them. Like, he was mm-hmm. just, he was stepping into a shot. His shot itself looked good. His free throws looked really good tonight. Like, did mm-hmm. did you notice the tweak he made in his free throw shot?
I didn't see what he was doing differently. I was certainly happy with the result though.
It was so. One of my annoyances with some of his previous approaches to free throws, and again, this is one of my weird kind of obsessions with this Lakers season, mm-hmm. but he has a lot of unnecessary movement from the free throw line sometimes. And mm-hmm. I always kind of analogize shooting free throws to throwing darts, mm-hmm. where you want to simplify your body to the nth degree so that only the muscles that are used in shooting the free throw, you know, you still want to keep it natural, right? But you want to minimize the amount of movement to the point where you are only using the muscles that are utilized in the shot. And it's short enough where, and LeBron is strong enough to where that should be a thing that he should be able to do pretty comfortably. Mm-hmm. And I really liked, he did this thing where the rhythm of the free throw itself was really good. There wasn't some big long pause where he was staring at the 3-point line or the rim for very long. And then he was also super vertical on his shot and really minimized the amount of movement on the peripheries of his shot. That's the best free throw I've seen him shoot, quite frankly, as a Laker. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't hold out too much hope and in year 17, that's going to be something like he changes it all the time. Yeah. Man. Like, but it was nice tonight. I hope he sticks with it, but you know, he just doesn't have enough of a routine for me to be like, all right, this is going to be better it. Now. It's weird. Our roles are kind of reversed here. Like, you're like, that was great. Best free throw you shot as a Laker. And I'm like, I mean,
yeah, LeBron, no, I think
high 60s, low 70s. And that's what's going
to
happen.
It's just as likely that he's going to like get bored with this now and then move to some new routine, you know, five games from now or whatever. And I'm going to be pulling my hair out about it. But even Jen, like when Jen was sitting there watching, she was like, hey, that's a new one, a new approach or whatever. Because like if you think I'm bad talking to you right now.
oh, I get it. Trust me. I'm similar.
I really enjoyed that. Other places from the game or things from the game that I think kind of stood out to me. Kuzma's approach to the game kind of shifted over the course of it, but have you noticed some of the listlessness that I have kind of noticed in his like just general approach and focus and energy playing basketball?
Yeah, like those first two jumpers were rough. He seems out of sync.
Yeah,
more to me like. He's been okay on defense. I haven't had nearly as many complaints about him this year on that end. So I respect that he's committed to that and gotten better. But just offensively, he got into a little groove in garbage time. And I know that doesn't mean anything for that particular game. But I do think that there's some value in just seeing the ball go through the hoop a few times. And hopefully that carries forward, especially if AD is going to be out for these next couple of games, then Kuz is probably going to start in his place. So, you know, him getting on track is going to be a necessary component of us competing in Dallas or in OKC against two current playoff teams right now.
Yeah. Do you think that, again, you never want to see Anthony Davis get hurt, obviously. But do you think that could be a potential blessing in disguise that Kuzma gets into the starting lineup and feels like a more pivotal focal point of the team than he's been so far this season?
I mean, you know, he knows it's temporary, right?
Like, yeah.
It's great to get some minutes with LeBron, although he gets that in the second and fourth quarters. But he will get more touches and shot attempts, not just as a result of starting, but AD, there goes, you know, 15 to 18 shot attempts on any given night, if not more, that Kuz is going to be the beneficiary of a lot of that. So this is a great opportunity for him to get on track and kind of show his value. But I don't think that it's going to be quite as translatable as him doing it when AD's healthy.
Yeah, I agree. All right, last thing from this one. Well, two quick things. Well, first off, how long ago does it feel that Julius Randle was a Laker?
Bro, it's amazing how much has changed. I was thinking with all these recent Kuzma rumors, like, he's the last of the, like, the only one left would be, what, Alex Caruso? And he was kind of an unintentional member of the young core, right?
Yeah.
And just these last few years, there were certainly mistakes made along the way. And if the Lakers are looking to get a like Bogdanovich type, it sure would be nice to have just one more asset to be able to throw in there. Cause you can't trade any of their firsts since, you know, they went out in the AD trade and there's the Stepien rule preventing you from trading picks in consecutive years. So, I would love that to be managed differently, but it's amazing where we are considering where we were. And all those guys, like, they're all pretty good, man. Like, mm-hmm. all the guys that we stood up for when they were babies and said, no, like, keep an eye on this guy. Like, all of them turned out to be pretty good, man. And I still very much root for Julius, but yes, it is. He does not seem familiar to me anymore the way that he once did when he came back. Like when Brandon came back and Lonzo, even D'Angelo still to a lesser extent, they still feel like, oh yeah, those are our guys. Randle doesn't feel that way anymore. Even though my mind, I think about him that way. And I wish him well. I just don't feel it the same way.
Yeah. He kind of carries himself with double middle fingers towards the Lakers in ways that other young guys who have departed the Lakers, not obviously fully departed, but the guys, the former young core, I think he carries the most animosity towards the organization and to a certain extent, fairly so. Yep. Last point here before we move on and talk about where the Lakers go if AD misses time. It really looked like the Lakers were going out of their way to get Rajon Rondo going against a bad team here.
Yeah, I mean, Rondo, I thought Rondo played with good energy, man.
Yeah.
He like, give the devil his due. Mm-hmm. He was he gave the requisite effort. Now, he turned the ball over 5 times. Reed had a great tweet that, like, he's the worst passer of anyone I've seen whose best skill is passing.
Right, yeah.
And that certainly describes some of his passes. But, like, I don't know, man. It was just refreshing to see him try.
Yeah.
And I don't like killing a Laker. So when he plays well, I want Rondo to play well. I don't want it to be this way. So I did not think of it as what they did to go out of their way for him was he got an extended shift.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he played longer because he was playing well, which is good. Like, whenever you have one of
you got to reward somebody.
Yeah, like, he's got it going. Reward it. Be like, this is the effort we need you to play. Because, like, whatever role Rondo is on this team going forward, we want him to be the best version of it, right?
Yeah.
So even if Collison comes in and Rondo stays on the team as a third string point guard, well, what if Avery Bradley gets hurt? What if Collison gets hurt, right? What if, for whatever reason, we need to call on Rondo, we want him to be the best version of that. And he needs to play like that every night.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of, like, the stats or anything like that, but just, like, go like that, play with that type of pace. And
The pace, especially. I really like to do is pushing the pace.
Yeah, he was alive, man. Mm-hmm. Jeannie said something to me the other night that I thought was interesting about Rondo is that no matter how much you know about basketball, the one thing that even the most casual fan can see is like, oh, that guy's trying.
Yeah.
Or he's not trying, right? Mm-hmm. You don't need to understand the sport that well to be like, hey, that guy's busting his ass. And so that is why Rondo gets it from our end, but also gets it from fans who are like, what the hell?
Yeah,
like, what is this? You know? And so, yeah, I just want to see more of this.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah. Solid showing for the significant others in tonight's show. That was a really good point from Jeannie. Let's take a quick second here. And when we come back, I want to talk about where the Lakers go if Anthony Davis misses time. We're going to look at the schedule. We're going to look at personnel choices that Frank Vogel will have facing him. All of that here in a second. The Lakers are 30-7.
Yeah, man.
This has been really fun. Good.
It has. It's caused me so much angst, but I'm also enjoying the hell out of it, right?
Yeah.
Because they're so close, but man, we skipped way past like average and above average,
right,
or okay, and straight into elite. We went from like below average to elite in one season.
It's like that. It's like that kid in high school who like just kind of was in the background and just had no luck whatsoever with the opposite sex, and then all of a sudden they get to college. And it's just like, whoa.
Yeah, check this dude out. Yeah. We're on pace. We're almost halfway through the year. We're on pace for 66 or 67 wins.
That's incredible. It's impressive. It's really it's really cool to watch. And you know, we made the point earlier in the show, but the fact that the Lakers have pushed themselves the way that they did allows them the ability now to be as careful as they have to be here so long as Anthony Davis is out.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is a luxury.
It is. And, you know, look, shade aimed at the Clippers aside, which is always fun. So, like, if you guys want, like, you could pause the thing and
Let's not put it aside just for a second.
Yeah.
Like, their whole marketing campaign is like, what a bunch of badasses they are, unlike the posers across the way. Mm-hmm. That's the implicit thing, right? They're right. Like, driven over given, streetlights over spotlights.
Yeah.
They're talking about the Lakers.
Right.
Right. Like, we're the other side of that equation. That's their whole, like, look at me. This is why we're important. We are of the people. Like, no, they're not. They're not.
Yeah.
Like, they need to embrace Kawhi. Bro, have you talked to people who cover the Clippers?
No, I try not to.
Like, the difference between this team this year and last year in terms of access and, like,
oh, man.
Kawhi makes them wait. I don't know if he's doing it anymore, like, if he's even doing post-game
45 minutes.
Bro, no, like 90 minutes. There have been times where they've had to wait for like 90 minutes just to get access.
Yeah.
Right? Just to do their jobs. And these are games that often start late at night.
Mm-hmm.
They're divas, man.
Yeah.
Like, And that's fine. I've rooted for several Lakers teams that had divas.
I myself am a diva.
Yes. Lean into it. Just stop the bullcrap, right? Just be who you are and embrace that. I am enjoying my Lakers team that's suiting up every night when they've got bumps and bruises. They're going in the game. They've got a cold. They're playing for each other. They're working really hard on the defensive end, right? They're like, if you want to talk about playing basketball the right way and all of the things that go with the Clippers marketing campaign, that's what the Lakers are doing this year. Mm-hmm. Yes, they've got the superstars and all of that, but like, yeah, they deserve crap for that. The Lakers are the team that they're describing. Now, does that mean that they're going to win in a Western Conference series? Not necessarily. Sometimes the diva team does win, but in terms of like what identity each team has, you go out there and show it. Don't talk about it. Be about it. And the Lakers have actually been about that sort of style way more than the Clippers have.
The NBA league office has been driven insane as the Clippers have been given many L's. How's that?
There you go.
No, I think there's this can't be pointed out often enough. This idea of like hard hat and sack lunch, and they just show up and they play every single night. Like, no, man, that's just absolutely not the case. I had, you know, a couple weeks ago in one of the mailbag episodes, we had a listener write in and say, yeah, I flew all the myself, not me, obviously, but the writer of that review said that they flew in from Australia. He and his friends flew in from Australia, dropped $5,000 each person, right? Mm. Went to the game that they played against, that the Clippers played against Milwaukee, and Kawhi didn't play while he was healthy. Like, we talk about, you know, NBA ratings being down and interest in the league potentially being down, and there are other factors going on here or whatever. But one of the league's considered foremost stars and best players ever, especially of this generation, is not playing on a regular basis while he is healthy. That is terrible for the league. Mm-hmm. While he, by the way, and his camp are asking for things that circumvent the cap. Like, right. If you talk about like what a diva is, that's it right there. Somebody is asking for payment beyond not just the 82-game schedule that they are paid based off of. They're asking to be paid based off of that 82-game schedule while knowing inherently they aren't going to play for those 82 games. And we want you to go above and beyond what the cap allows the player to be paid. Like, when you talk about the disconnect between millionaire athletes and spoiled athletes and stuff like that, and how that sometimes rubs fans the wrong way, that's exactly what we're talking about. That's what's going on there.
Yeah, no, that's it. I mean, yeah, and I just don't appreciate the framing of it otherwise, right? Like, that's all. If you're going to be divas, lean into it, man.
Yeah.
Like, show up in sequins to, you know, in a boa and a fur coat or whatever. Brown,
right? Like, I have a whole lot of money song.
Hey, man, I am mad. Like, you're doing well for yourself. Just lean into it. That's all.
Yeah. So the Lakers schedule moving forward. That was a fun little rant, though.
Yes,
I enjoyed that. That felt good. So the Lakers upcoming schedule, they go to Dallas, they go to Oklahoma City, they come home to play Cleveland and then Orlando, and then they travel out to Houston, all in the next 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
All in the next 11 days. 11 days. They have a couple days off before their game against Dallas. I would imagine Davis probably misses all of those. Because then after Houston, they go to Boston, they go to New York, they go to Brooklyn, they go to Philly. Mm-hmm. I would imagine Davis misses at least through to January 18th. If he does miss that amount of time, how do the Lakers handle that? How do you think they go through this next little stretch?
I think they've been better in the time. They had that game against Indiana that they just lost, that they kind of let slip away down the stretch. I think it's going to depend on Vogel, like in terms of who he's leaning on. Obviously, it's less of a margin for error. I do think we probably drop these next two games at Dallas and OKC's at OKC.
Playing really well right now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, OKC's a good team. They've got a bunch of pros. They've been around for a long time. They've got a high floor because they've got a lot of professional guys, Chris Paul, Steven Adams, guys like that, right? Dallas doesn't have Porzingis, so that will probably matter to some extent.
Yeah.
So I think we've got a shot in that game. They also haven't been playing particularly well as of late. They've dropped down to the sixth seed, at least when I checked yesterday, that's where they were at. So I think we got a shot in that, but I think we lose the next two. But I think after that, again, hold on, let me go back to that schedule. You know, got Cleveland and Orlando. Yeah, at Boston, at Houston. Damn it, we won't have AD for the Celtics, maybe? I hope we have him for the Celtics.
Think that's either about way. The time he would be getting ready to come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're recording this on January 7th. That's about 2 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the 13 days from now is when you know, that game would be taking place. And, you know, that's a 2 weekish type of injury.
Well, and we also don't have, I mean, that's, you know, Dr. Brar speculating on Twitter rather than mm-hmm. having actually examined him. So we don't know that it will be 2 weeks at this point. But yeah, hopefully he'll be back by then. But like you said, man, no need to rush this. They've got some cushion, and I think that we'll be okay. Like, I think AD is more replaceable regular season wise than LeBron is. Obviously, neither of them are replaceable long term, but I do think we can survive a stretch without AD more than we can without LeBron.
Especially given the way Dwight has played lately. Mm-hmm. I'm not really worried about Dallas. Like, the fact that Kristaps Porzingis isn't available, the thing that Davis helps against Dallas specifically is that he can defend the rim and also challenge 3-point shooters. Mm-hmm. And you know, with Porzingis not there, that means they are going to lack the kind of spacing that he offers when he's playing the five. I think that really messes up with everything that they try to do there.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
And then OKC, you're talking about, so Chris Paul, I think, is still going to give the Lakers issues because he's really effing good. But OKC, like, they rely, in terms of the front court production, they rely really heavily on traditional front court production. That's, like, right up JaVale and Dwight's alley. I think that, mm-hmm. that kind of helps them there. Orlando and Cleveland, those are two wins. So I think the Lakers could probably go 500 over the next six games.
Yeah, and then, that sounds about right.
And then they win probably in New York and then in Brooklyn. But if they can go over their next six games against Dallas, OKC, Cleveland, Orlando, Houston, and Boston, I think you can hope for 500 basketball, in which case you take that every day of the week when you lose a superstar.
Absolutely, absolutely. Phil Jackson used to talk about how championship teams get to 40 wins before they get to 20 losses. Mm-hmm. And Lakers actually have a shot at getting to 40 before they get to 10. But I think that this injury probably puts that by the wayside. So yeah, if you're asking me what I'd be fine with, give me 3-3 over the next six. I'd be good with that.
I agree. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. We'll see. We're going to continue to get news about Anthony Davis over the next couple days, and we'll probably still continue to get some news trickling down from about Kyle Kuzma. I would imagine there's going to be continued conversation about Kuzma specifically, now knowing via Tanya Kanguli of the LA Times reporting that it was actually Pelinka who initiated those conversations with Sacramento. Mm-hmm. I think that was really interesting. So we'll come back and talk about that tomorrow. But for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.